And if you'd like to turn in your Bibles back to Micah 9:6-4, we're going to be having a look at that passage briefly. But before we start, let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's a light to our path. Please guide us as we look at this. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've got our Advent candle lit. We're in Advent. Christmas is coming again. It comes around really quick, doesn't it, these days? Maybe it's my age. And New Year. We're thinking about the future. What do you really long for in the future? What do you hope the future holds? We often think about that kind of thing, don't we, around Christmas and New Year? Peace and security. Isn't that what most people want in life? To be at peace, to be safe and secure. Well, this passage in Micah 4, which we've got before us this morning, is a classic Advent passage. But if we look at the verses just before, in chapter 3, right at the very end there, we read these horrifying verses. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be a ploughed field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house of wooded height. The reality for the people in that day was that they were going to be taken off into exile in Babylon. This is what Micah was prophesying. Their city, Jerusalem, would be destroyed and dismantled. The temple burnt down. Why? Well, their leaders and the people were astray. They were not following the Lord. The leaders were distorting the word of God. In fact, Jerusalem was a city then built on violence and bloodshed. Those religious leaders were self-serving rather than people-serving. Their situation was pretty grim. And it's into that situation that Micah prophesies. He prophesies a warning, and he prophesies in love. A longing for those people to return to the Lord, to respond to God's call. And he continues to prophesy in today's reading. But this prophecy, this second one, if you like, is a mirror image of the prophecy before. He prophesies that there'll be a new temple, that it'll be better than the present one. The present one wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. This new temple will be the highest. That new Jerusalem with God's teaching at the center, unlike the old one. And the Lord will teach the nations himself. There'll be no more bad teachers. And all the people will be drawn to him there. And God will make good decisions, right judgments for them. Unlike the self-serving religious leaders of the day. And so we have these two extremes. The present reality, which was utterly dire. Lawlessness, impending invasions, leaders trying to make powerful pacts with enemies to avoid destruction, refusal to turn to God for help, self-sufficiency rather than God's sufficiency, trying to sort things out themselves. The other way, a future reality based on God, where God was at the center. A future kingdom where the nations, all people, will be drawn to hear him and obey him. Can you see it there in Micah 4, verse 1 and 2? He prophesies, in days to come, that's in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of all the mountains and shall be raised up above the hills. People shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in his paths. Isn't untroubled peace what we long for and what all sane human beings long for? What we need to be clear about is that it doesn't lie in some strange, unattainable utopia which human beings strive for, or some new political order that a political party might bring in. No, it's available now to all who come to the heavenly Mount Zion, all who come to Jesus. Do you notice the word Lord is in capitals? That's the name of God. That's Yahweh. And so it's only as people recognize that God is God, that they realize who God is. When they call on him by his own name, Yahweh, because they have that new relationship with him, it's only then that peace comes. That people eventually come to their senses about who God is. That God raised his son from death. That set him at God's right hand, higher than any other highest mountain, the mountain of God. It's then that they stream to him. But at the present time, what the people saw was nothing more than a ploughed field. Jerusalem eventually destroyed as they were carried off into Babylon. But Micah looks forward to when those nations will stream to Jesus, to the truth. We see confusion, don't we, nowadays, as we try to order our society. Man's futile attempts to subdue the world without God. And all that happens is chaos. In verse 2, we overhear the conversation of the people as they stream to Jerusalem to hear God's word. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in his paths. We're included in that. The nations. We, along with them, will stream to that mountain as if drawn by a supernatural magnet, moved by the desire to hear God's word, to hear his teaching. Is that you? Are you drawn to hear God's teaching? Drawn by a desire to hear the truth about Jesus? And the nations, they respond by converting their weapons of war into tools for gardening. Why? Because their hearts had been changed when they come to God, when they come to Jesus. Eden restored. We have it there, don't we, in verse 3 and 4. Very well known. He shall judge between many peoples and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. So you see, peace is obtained not by the removal of arms, not by the removal of weapons of war, not by the removal of chemical weapons from Syria or nuclear weapons from Iran, but when people come to the Lord and submit to him, hearts changed. That's what changes society. When hearts are changed, when we come to Jesus, then we beat our weapons of war into plowshares. They're removed, not the other way around. And as people return to Jesus and walk with him, living in peace, peace comes in our communities. The new kingdom begins to be established here and now. But for the moment, we're living in a fallen world, aren't we? Where Jerusalem is a ploughed field, if you like. Look at our world. It seems like a ploughed field in chaos. And so it's Advent season now. And Advent looks forward, doesn't it, to the glory of Christmas Day, when we light the central candle. God with us, Emmanuel. He calls us to come to him as he comes to us. The beginning of the kingdom of God is when we come to Jesus. Established, that kingdom established by King Jesus. We've much to look forward to. Even so, life may be difficult for us now. And I guess it is. As we get older, our bodies fail, and we feel a bit like that ploughed field, don't we? A shadow, perhaps, of what we were. And the news keeps telling us that we're a burden to society. But you know, God does not say that. We're loved by him. The good news is that we have a glorious future in the kingdom, starting now on God's holy mountain, where there'll be no more war, but peace. And that's our sure hope. Whatever the circumstances are around us, that's our sure hope. So in our Advent season, let's pledge ourselves to the Lord who's come and sought us out, to his promised future, which he has spoken and which he has promised to us who walk with Jesus. And can we say together, verse 5, for all the peoples walk each in the name of its God, but we here at St. George's will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. Amen.